Okay, Chevra. Obviously, like, it's a difficult situation now in Eretz Yisrael, so of course our learning tonight should be a zchus for the people in Eretz Yisrael, that everything should be okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should protect them. I want to discuss with you the question of how you keep Shabbos in polar regions and in outer space. A few months ago, I liked to travel. Many people in the show like to go... They take trips, they go on vacations, they go to exciting places. So this fellow was telling me that he went to Antarctica last winter, which is like summer down in Antarctica. So it's like, great. So I asked him, what did you do about Shabbos in Antarctica? So apparently he didn't understand the question. So he tells me, oh, he came with like some boxes of matzahs, and he had grape juice, and he was able to make Shabbos in Antarctica. So I'm like, no. Like, what do you do about Shabbos in Antarctica? Like, which day do you keep Shabbos in Antarctica? And he said that, like, the rabbi had told him, the rabbi who he consulted with, they should keep Shabbos based on the times in the last place where he left, which was like some city from the coast of Argentina. The boat that goes to Antarctica leaves from the coast of Argentina, so that's what he did. We'll discuss like the halachic ramifications. Now, obviously, we're talking about this week because it's Parashas Bereishis. Parashas Bereishis has an important pasuk that really is one of the shortest and most famous pasukim, but also one of the more difficult pasukim to understand. La halacha, vayhi erev, vayhi voker yom echad. No, so vayhi erev literally means the twilight that goes from day to night. Vayhi boker, and it was the twilight that goes from night to day, the twilight of morning, yom echad, and that equals a full day. Which means, presumably, that day involves two periods of uncertainty, one beforehand and one after. The period of uncertainty in halacha is defined as bein hashmashos, let's say between sunset and seis kochavim. Right? That is the period of uncertainty. Now, when I'm in the North Pole, I'm going to talk about the North Pole because usually I think when we speak about poles, we usually speak about the North Pole more than the South Pole, even though this show member wasn't going to the South Pole. But when you're at the North Pole, so you don't really have a sunrise and a sunset. Right? At the North Pole, precisely, you're going to have 6 months of sunlight followed by 6 months of darkness. Correct? Anyone been there? Want to comment? I think at the North Pole, 6 months of sunlight followed by 6 months of darkness. Now, the issues that we're talking about obviously are very relevant for the North Pole, but they're also relevant for any place that's pretty far up north. The Arctic Circle is defined as anything above 66.56 northern latitude. Okay? The Arctic Circle is an imaginary line that goes across Greenland, Canada, Scandinavia, Russia, Alaska. This area in the Arctic Circle is a place where there are days that the sun does not set in the summer and days in the winter when the sun does not rise. That's the definition of the Arctic Circle. Then you're going to have some time that there's some days. Now, there are some cities up there, or places. The northernmost town in the world is this town called Longyearbyen, which is somewhere north in Norway. And the sun is above the horizon between April 20th and August 25th. Right? Now, the issue, though, can be relevant also for places further south, but also places that don't really get dark. Let's talk about Copenhagen. Right? That's kind of a mainstream city, no? Copenhagen has some times during the year when the sun will go down, when the sunset will be around 2 a.m., And the bigger problem is, if you hold of Rabbeinu Tam Zmanim, this is a point that Rabbi Bleich makes in the best article about this topic is in Tradition, Fall 2002 by Rabbi Bleich. It's called Mitzvahs in Polar Regions and Earth Orbit. If you hold of Rabbeinu Tam Zmanim, which is sometimes assumed to mean that Rabbeinu Tam can be taken in two different ways. There's the Rabbeinu Tam in terms of fixed minutes, which is 72 minutes after sunset, is what says HaKochavim. Now, the problem with the 72 minutes fixed minutes is it doesn't work in many places of the world, right? It's supposed to be says HaKochavim, but if I'm in Norway, 72 minutes after sunset, right, is still really light outside, no? So what's the Zman of Rabbeinu Tam in many places? Well, they assume the Zman of Rabbeinu Tam is degrees of declination, degrees that the sun is beneath the horizon. And usually they use 16.1 degrees. If I assume that 16.1 degrees is the measure of Tseis HaKochavim, so then in places as far south as London, you are never going to have Tseis HaKochavim during the summer. Now, if you would ask me, I would say, oh, doesn't that prove that the degrees of declination is wrong? But this is a real problem. So what we have to do this evening is discuss keeping mitzvahs in polar region and in Earth orbit. Rabbi Bleich wrote this article after Ilan Ramon. Remember the Israeli astronaut? So it was Nebuch, right? He went up and the Space Shuttle Columbia broke down into pieces on Earth re-entry back in 2001, 2002, when was it? Ilan Ramon decided that because he's representing Israel, he's representing the Jewish people, he's going to go up and he'll try to keep Shabbos. Whoa, hold it! Shabbos, right? You're going around and around and around. When do you keep Shabbos? It's effectively the same type of question as the North Pole, because you don't have normal sunrise and sunset, and that's what we're going to talk about. What I'd like to do tonight, again following what Rabbi Bleich says, but adding a teeny bit, is discuss four, maybe five different positions to address this question. What the halachic answer is, I would tell you, is something you have to ask your local Orthodox rabbi. I might be your local Orthodox rabbi, but right here tonight we're not talking. Thank you, Dov. Right here tonight we're not talking about halacha lemaisa as much as we're talking about the concepts. So let's begin. The first shita I want to deal with is the mar uketzia. Right, it's the third source on the sheet. The first source on the sheet is supposed to say Vayir Vayivoker Yom Echad. As you can see, the Pesukim come out in Korean because the Koreans study lots of Talmud. That's why the Pesuk looks that way. Okay. Mor Uketzia is written by Rabbi Jacob Emden, also known as Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Famous individual. He raises the following question in Simin Shin Mem Dalar Farachayim. Tzarech Iyun. Eich yinhagu hayoshvim onosim b'mdinos hasmuchos l'kotav. How should those people who live or who travel to the countries that are near the pole, how should they act? Shelefi rov hakorva mis'arech hayom, yesh yechodesh or shnei chadashim yom echad. But you could have 1 to 2 months that are a single day. V'chein yoser. No? It sounds like a pretty accurate description of the North Pole, right? That there's a place that the day can last 6 months and the night could last 6 months. He says, underneath the pole itself, you do not have day and night. The entire year is Bein Hashmashos. Is that correct? Survey says, right? No, dead wrong. That basically, I don't know, this line just seems to be factually incorrect. But he's assuming that at the North Pole, there's no true light or true darkness ever. You have constant twilight, that's not correct. Okay. So he asks, Kate Sayasu Sham Shabbos. Let's just skip a line. Im Kane, how do they do Shabbos? So Zakta Yaakov Emden. Vinirali. Sheyesh Lindo Sham Shiva Yamim Shavim Shachofdal and Shaos Shavos Shalanu. Umechashev Miyom Shehigi Alasham. Mona Hayamim Bishaos and Makade Shvi. Kader Shinizgala El Holeth Bamidbar. Right? Anyone want to tell me what Rabbi Yaakov Emden just said? Right? Just like the Gemara has a case of someone who's walking in the desert and doesn't know what day it is. Right? I forget what day it is. I'm walking in the desert. So the Gemara, what I do is I count 7 days, and day seven I make Shabbos. Now, the halacha of the person who doesn't know where he is in the desert is that you're really not allowed to do malacha all 7 days of the week. Maybe it's Shabbos. No? That's the way it appears in Shulchan Aruch. Look at the previous verse. I'm doing the desert. I don't know when Shabbos is. Mona Shiva Yom Miyom Shanasan Alibo Shikhaso Mikade Shvi. So you count 7 days from when you recognize that you don't know what day it is, and you're Mikadesh day seven with Kiddush and Avdalah. And if I can survive, I'm not allowed to do malacha until I get rid of the stuff that I have. And then I do malacha every day, kidei panasasa mitzumtzemes. In other words, each day I cook only enough food for me to live. Right? I can't do malacha. Because each day might be Shabbos. When I say that I make it Shabbos, what that really means is I say kiddush on day seven, no? That's it. Now, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden that if I'm at the North Pole, so I do the same thing as the guy who's in the desert and doesn't know what day it is. And this is very questionable, this connection. You see, when I'm in the desert, I have sunrise, sunset, right? Every day. I just don't know whether it's Tuesday or Thursday. When I'm at the North Pole, I don't have sunrise or sunset. So why would I make this comparison, right, to the guy who's in the desert? And the guy who's in the desert is not allowed to do any malacha. Right? You can't do any malacha beyond what's necessary for Pekuach Nefesh. Right? This guy who's at the North Pole, so Lachora, I'm allowed to do malacha on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, right? Just Shabbos, I don't do malacha.
How should we count the days? I mean, I it's talking about a pre-technological.
So, how do I count the days? The first day I get there becomes Sunday.
Yeah, but there's no sunrise or sunset when it's Monday.
So, you're asking, I think, a different question. You're asking, how do I know what time to begin Shabbos on?
He's count seven, you said.
I count seven.
On what basis do you count?
Yeah, but you're basically besuffic every day what day it is.
Every day I'm besuffic, exactly. The Pshat Rabbi Yaakov Emden is that every day I have a suffic, and the halacha gives me a mechanism how to deal with the suffic of time. That is, count 6 days, day seven you declare a Shabbos.
That's another question. The question is, how do you count days if you don't know when day begins?
No, he says to count by hours.
By hours. Each day, I have a watch. I have a watch. And what I'm doing is I'm counting basically each day of 24 hours. Now, right. Okay, they had some sort of watch. There's a book called Longitude about how they figured out how to tell time on ships. This is a great mystery. Right? Because you're going across different time zones and how. Okay. You're telling time. Now, the amazing thing about Rabbi Yaakov Emden is as follows. In halacha, what is an hour in halacha?
A twelfth of the day.
Right? That's called shozmanios, no? So if the day goes 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., it's easy. When the day goes from 8 a.m. until 4 p.m., right? An hour is going to be 40 minutes or so, right? Now, if I'm at the North Pole, so why would I use this thing called 24 hours as a day Right? That's what Rabbi Yaakov Abner is saying. I use 24 hours as a day, when the halacha never recognizes 24 hours as a day. The halacha says a day is vayhi erev, vayhi voker. I go from sunrise to sunset. Rabbi Yaakov Emden is doing hocus pocus. No? He's saying, since you don't know what it is, so we'll approximate. Now, probably what Rabbi Yaakov Emden means is like this, and this is the way Rabbi Blake understands it. Min HaTorah, you're up at the North Pole, you don't have to keep time. You don't have to keep mitzvahs. You don't have to keep mitzvahs that are based on time, I should say. Because you don't have a normal day that's approximately 24 hours. Midrabanan, they say you should keep Shabbos because of the stringency of Shabbos.
Well, according to every day is always 24 hours, even in halacha. Just some of it, the question of what's day and what's night. The night is always the part that's not the day, so it's just a question of how many minutes are in day,
okay.
Daylight.
That's fair. But in halacha, it's a 24-hour unit combined. But my halachic hour is usually a shozmanios.
Right, but that's within the day.
So my Shabbos should be 24 hours because that's what Shabbos. That's what daytime
day,
is.
Day is 24 hours.
But how do I know that in halacha a day is 24 hours? Maybe in halacha a day is between sunrise and sunset. And there are some days in halacha that are 20.
What's the night considered?
What?
What's the between sunset and the next sunrise? What's that? What is that? That doesn't count as not day.
Or it's part of the same day.
Right. So I'm saying, but then it has to be. It's gonna.
What?
Well, I understand.
The problem is, if a day should be from sunrise to sunset, so at the North Pole, you know how long a day should be? A year. No? Every day should be a year.
Or 6 months.
No, it's 6 months of sun and 6 months of dark. So after a total of what I call a year, they would have one day.
And how lucky you still have night. Night is still part of a day.
I have night. I have 6 months of day.
Oh, I don't understand how you could define a day as sunrise and sunset, because that only takes into account half of the day or a certain part of the day.
Sunrise until sunset is half the day. Sunset to sunrise is the next half.
Right.
So at the North Pole, sunrise to sunset is, let's say, April, or it is March until, I mean, I have the dates written down over here, but now, that approach, okay, basically what we have is like this. We're now suggesting a new approach. Rabbi Bleich suggests this, and he says, no one in the history of humanity really entertained this idea, but conceptually, I think this would be the most reasonable thing, which is that at the North Pole,
the last seventh of the year you celebrate Shabbos?
No. Once every 7 years, I have a Shabbos. One to 7 years, I have a full year of Shabbos. Now, the biggest question about that would mean, how often do you have Pesach at the North Pole?
Wait, the North Pole, it doesn't set at all? Or on half of the year?
Half of the year, it's light. Half of the year, it's dark.
Don't we get a clue from Chumash that they had the Kazakh before the sun was created?
Yeah, so, you got to wait 10 minutes and we'll get there. Right, that's the point that we want to get to, but
it'd be like extreme Shemitah.
What?
Extreme Shemitah.
Extreme Shemitah, right. Right. But when you think about, like, you'd have to kind of plug in time all the way since Bria's Olam and divide it up by 7 years and figure out which are my Shabbosos at the North Pole, and I'm keeping a full year of Shah, it's wild, no?
How about Yom Kippur? How long?
So, you fast Yom Kippur for a full year. Right? Everything is a full year. Each day is a year. It's like a pasuk. Right? So approach number one is Rabbi Yaakov Emden's approach. Rabbi Yaakov Emden's approach basically is that we treat it like a suffix. And he says, because it's a suffix, we use regular 24-hour periods, and we arbitrarily decide that the seventh of these becomes our Shabbos. He doesn't tell me when I begin Shabbos on the clock, when I end Shabbos on the clock. It's just that every seven 24-hour periods, I have to have a Shabbos. That's Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Now, we also had a different suggestion, the Rabbi Bleich's suggestion, which he says no one really entertained, which is I have Shabbos once every 7 years. We also have a suggestion that might be what Rabbi Yaakov Emden means as the Din D'Oraisa, if his whole shtickle Torah, like we said a minute ago, is Drabanan. And that might be that, you know what, if you don't have a day that's approximately 24 hours, if you don't have, right, between daytime and nighttime, approximately 24 hours, maybe you don't have Zmanim at all, and maybe you're not obligated to keep Shabbos at all, Min HaTorah. Which is kind of wild. Rav Mendel Kasher, I think, wrote a book called Adam al Hayareach, Man on the Moon, and in that book, he entertains that since the Pasuk in Kriya Shema that we say is that you should keep the mitzvahs al Ha'adama, if you're not on the ground, there's no mitzvahs. Now, let's... I guess so, yeah. I mean, the Gemara's in Gittin discuss which types of bolts, wooden bolts or earthenware bolts, but okay. Now, the Tiferes Yisrael has a different approach. It's quite similar to Rabbi Yaakov Emden, but it kind of ties up a lot of the loose points, and then we'll move on to the last approach. Let's look at this Tiferes Yisrael together. Okay, this is in the standard versions of Mishnayis at the end of the first pack of Brachas. He just has an essay apropos to nothing. Mistapikna, I have a doubt. Bimdinos Hatzvonis can go and be Irenu Danzig, O Copenhagen, Vistockholm, Ukadome, Shisham Bechol Chodesh, Yuni, Viuli, Laila Kiyom Yair. Right, in all of June and July, it is, right, nighttime is very light, no? I remember as a kid, one time we went to London actually, and I was looking for a minion to daven Ma'ariv, and they asked me that I wanted daven Ma'ariv Bizman. So I was like, innocent kid, I was probably around Bar Mitzvah. I said, sure, I want daven Ma'ariv Bizman. So yeah, there's one minion in London, Ma'ariv Bizman, it's like 11:45 at night or something. Right? But everyone else daven Ma'ariv much earlier. That's the same thing. Right? In these places, at midnight, you can very easily distinguish between blue and white. So when you say Kriyishma, when do you write Tzitzis? And don't tell me that we estimate based on the days in Nisan and Tishrei, which are what we would assume to be normal days, because people don't do that. Now, his question is, in these countries that are far north, how do you keep day? He assumes that day always begins as a matter of halacha from the sunset the night before. That's when day begins. That's how the Gemara says that you want to keep Shabbos like those in Tveria, Motzei Shabbos like those in Tzipori, because based on where you are compared to sea level, there's going to be a few minutes of difference in terms of the sunset, right? That we know. Ulam. Fine. Our main suffix is in the northern countries. So let's read the underlined parts. V'lechor yesh estapik gamkein, b'misha karelo, sheyavo b'kayit samach le'ha, what? What's that word? Hanord pole. Right? Our question is, someone who happens to be in the summer near the North Pole, shesham yesh ezel chadashem b'tzufim b'kayit yomamish. But he points out, which is correct, Ro'im hachama makefes koha ofek saviv mizrach darom marav tzafon. Right? At the North Pole, even though it's going to be light the whole time, that just means that the sun doesn't dip beneath the horizon. But I could watch the sun go from east to west over the course of the day. Right? In the morning, the sun is going to be over here. And then, it's all daylight, but I could watch the sun go like this and like that, no? So that's what he says. So how the Eich Yisna'ega Yisra'eli Habalasham, How does the Jew who goes there, im hasapanim shahochem rasham latzur hataninim hagedolem? Why is he going there? To catch, and he calls whales, in parentheses, whale fisher. You ever saw that word? When the Yadavin, etc. So he says, Yeshlo Mesham Simen Acher, Yeshlo, Shamash Shemesh, Makif Mikla Dal Ruchos, Kokatal Shos, Imkin, Yodea Shakoa Kofa Achaz, Shetazah Shemesh, Yedashu Yomechad. He basically argues that the concept of days exists by looking at the sun, because the sun goes from east to west. And each revolution of the sun, even though it never goes beneath the horizon, each revolution of the sun is going to be a complete day.
And
does
it daily?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. There's still a 24-hour unit.
Exactly. So that's the point the professor is making. There is a 24-hour unit, but it's going to be daylight for all 24 hours.
I'm trying to conceptualize it. The sun goes from east to west, and then what is it? Heads back?
Yeah.
So the next day,
A full unit is boop, boop.
Uh-huh.
Right? But the sun is always over the horizon. So he says, if I get there on a Sunday, I know that the seventh rotation is going to be Shabbos, and even though Zman Shachris Ve'Arvis, I'm not going to know, and I'm not going to know when Shabbos comes in and goes out, so how do I keep the Zmanim like they keep it in Europe or like they keep it in America? When the east, right?
West to east lit, so it's just lit by both directions.
So you must ask, do I keep the times of Europe, the times of America? So basically, he concludes that you should keep the zmanim of the place where you left from, and then he presents this interesting scenario that there could be two Jews with the Walla Fisher at the North Pole. One Jew came from America. One Jew came from Europe, so they're keeping different zmanim. And that rabbi who told this fellow that you keep this zmanim based on the last city in Argentina where you were, that's what he was based on. This is the Pharisee Stroh. Okay. So his argument, again, and he tells us explicitly, it's only Midrabanan, but his argument is that you have the concept of a day, and a day means 24 hours, and you can see from the way the sun goes, boop and boop, right? That's basically the Pharisee Stroh's argument. Now, there is another argument that Rabbi Bleich alludes to, but I think if we're learning Parshas Bereishis, it's worth talking about, which is as follows. The sun is created on day 4. Right? And how did they have Yom and Laila before day 4? How did they have day and night before day 4? And that's a real question, no? And the Rishonim deal with this question. Let's learn the Rabbeinu Bachai together. Rabbeinu Bachai at the beginning of Parashas Bereishis, it's right at the first source. Vayer vayivoki yom shlishi. Zokt Rabbeinu Bachai, Rabbeinu Bachai, whatever, b'shloshi yom elu, hizkir erev boker. The first 3 days, it mentions day and night, but lo hayu shama oros, yom echai ven ha'erev ha'boker. They didn't have the celestial bodies. Kishkiya sa'ar hua erev, uzvichasu hua boker. Omnam hizkir b'shloshtam erev boker, v'lo klape ha'ar, ela klape ha'galgal, shuhu chuzer umis galgal bo. Ki kochelek mechoke ha'rakia kshu ole, hu lo boker, shishokeya hu lo erev, ach miyom revi ve'elek, shenivra moros hizkir erev boker klape ha'ar. What's he saying? I think what he's saying is that there's a type of time that's also judged based on the motion of the heavens. Now, what does that mean? For us, that means... Huh? Well, we think of heavens as being only the stars. But assuming that there is something called the heavens that's different than the stars, so I can effectively have a different type of day and night based on where I am in all of the heavens.
It sounds Aristotelian.
Yes.
Spheres,
okay. Correct.
It's not
if the only problem is in the first day...
In the first day, there's no stars yet.
Yeah, but he defines Yom as Or. The Torah defines Yom as Or.
So the
Rambam, some sort of light.
So the Ramban in his Pirush Al HaTorah works very, very hard on this. Right now we're just saying what the Rabbi Noah B'chaya says.
But
there is some sort of light, obviously, but it's not sunlight. It's different
light.
But what does Yom and Laila mean? Yom and Laila might mean Yom based on where I am in the heavens. Laila based on where I am in the heavens. So far, so good?
Yeah, but it just doesn't jive with the first day. Because Yom is defined as Or. Not as a place, not
so,
a location.
I would say that maybe the R is incidental. The real definition might be where we are in the heavens. This is very similar to the Chakira that Rabbi Chanan Wasserman has at the beginning of Pesachim. He asks, what's the din of Tzeis HaKochavim? Is Tzeis HaKochavim a Siva or a Simen? Did the stars coming out, is that what creates nighttime? Or do the stars coming out show that it's a certain degree of darkness, let's say, that the stars could come out? No?
It's just an indicator.
What?
It's just an indicator.
It's an indicator. It's a simen rather than a siba. What we could say is that the sun setting is not what creates nighttime. Nighttime, or at least before there was a sun, nighttime is created by heavenly motions. Now, for us, after the sun is created, heavenly motions means the way the stars move. Right? You have to remember, days 1, 2, and 3, there are no stars also. But for us, we could say that even in the absence of a sun, star motion can create days. And, right, we all know, or I don't know if we all know, but our great-great-great-great-grandfathers, who are much more attuned to the motion of the heavens, could tell time from stars. Right? Is that correct?
I wasn't around then.
I wasn't around.
Yeah.
But, so it is possible. Now, this is relevant for the understanding of Psukim in Sefer Yehoshua. What happened? Yehoshua is fighting, right, in Perek Yud, Pesukim Yud Gimel, etc. Right? And Shemesh beGivon Dom veYareach beEmek Ayalon, the sun stands still. Right? How long does the sun stand still for? What does that question mean, even? But the Gemara Nafot Zohar has a machlokes. Is it 24 hours, 36 hours, or 48 hours? So Machlokas Masech Sev Lebzar, how long the sun stood still. Now, next bit of information very quickly is that according to one opinion in Chazal, which the Radak quotes here in Yehoshua, turn to the second side, the war was on Erev Shabbos. Yehoshua was worried that the Jewish people should not fight a battle on Shabbos because they shouldn't be Mechal on Shabbos. So therefore, Yehoshua poshat yodo lemaila sheyamar Hashemesh biyom shishi kishir yom Shabbos ayareya kishir leo Shabbos vehem shloshim v'sheshos. Notice Yehoshua stopped the sun in order to make sure the sun doesn't set so it doesn't become Shabbos. Now, when Yehoshua stops the sun, did Yehoshua stop the sun or did he only stop? Did he also stop the stars and the heavenly motions? That's a big machlokas. The Malbim assumes that he had to stop everything. Because if you stop only the sun and not the heavens, so then our Birchas HaChama calculations are going to be off. No? Once every 28 years you say this bracha Birchas HaChama, the sun's in the same place it was, right? But it would be off based on Yahushua. That's the basic cheshbin of the Malbim that I give you. However, the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer in Perek Nun Beis, Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer says, I don't think I gave it to you because I couldn't find it on Bar Ilan. Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer says that not only did the sun stop, but the heavenly bodies also stopped. Now, if we put it together as follows, we could end up with the following conclusion. Is time based on the sun or based on the heavenly bodies? Does Shabbos begin based on the sun setting or based on the heavenly bodies?
In the moon.
What? Well, by Yahushua, both the sun and the moon stopped, right? But there's also other stars. Right, also other stars. So, is time based on the sun, right? And the moon is like the sun's stepbrother. Or is time based on heavenly body motion, called stars? If the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer and the Radak's tradition is right, that this sun is stopping because we don't want it to become Shabbos. So, right? So why did it not become Shabbos? Obviously because everything stopped. No? Because if halachically it becomes Shabbos based on the stars, and the stars are still moving, so stopping the sun doesn't do anything. No? I'm just bringing this up because this might be another way. Again, I'm speaking in very veiled terms because I don't fully understand what I'm talking about. By Chassidim, they say that there's like Raza and Raza de Raza. Raza de Raza, the Rebbe alein fashteinisht. Right? The Rebbe himself doesn't understand. But if we're going to say that time as a matter of halacha might be based on star motion as much as sun motion, right? Which is what Rabbi Bechaye is saying. Rabbi Bechaye is saying that the first 3 days there were no stars yet, but heavenly motion. How do you know how the heavens are moving? I don't know. I don't have an indicator without the stars. But for me, the stars are the indicator of the heavenly motion. Well, if time is based on heavenly motion, so isn't that a way of looking at time when I'm at the North Pole? Now, I am not an expert on this. What do the stars look like from the North Pole?
No, it should still be the same thing.
You still see the Big Dipper?
Huh? It should
still... because basically what you have to remember, the Earth is...
It's round.
It's circling around the sun, and the stars are not within the solar system.
Right.
So they're somewhere else, kind of like another galaxy or whatever you want to call it. So I don't...
So I'm just making the suggestion that maybe when you're up at the North Pole, the halachic definition of time is almost like the halachic definition of time of the first 3 days. Time before sun. And maybe the halachic definition of time in those situations is based on celestial bodies.
Yeah, but you saw that there were stars before...
I'm not saying that there were stars before. There weren't. The Torah sounds like the stars are created, right? Shemesh, Yireh, and Kol Ha'avim are created on day 4. But what I am saying is that for me, the stars are an indication of heavenly motion. The Rabbeinu Bechaye is saying that heavenly motion is the real definition of day and night. So what we could argue, perhaps, is that you're right. Now I have stars. Now I have a way of seeing the heavenly motion. And maybe that's the definition of day and night.
No, he sounds like it's doing the same circular motion. There was just no sun, like in the middle.
Okay. But there's also no stars.
Right, there was
nothing. But there are heavens. There are heavens
like,
that move.
There's like a
24-hour, but now
there was like some sort of 24-hour unit.
But now I know that 24-hour unit based on star motion.
Right.
Right? And when I'm at the North Pole and I don't have the regular sun motion. Now, again, the point that the Tiferes Yisrael made is a correct point. In terms of, you do have some sun motion, but you don't have light and darkness. Right? One could argue that there's two halachic definitions of a day. There's a halachic definition of a day based on light and darkness. Right? And then there's another halachic definition of a day based on heavenly motion. If I would use light and darkness, so then Rabbi Blake's phantom suggestion of having Shabbos once every 7 years at the North Pole makes sense. If I have heavenly motion, so then... Where?
I'm not a
physics guy. I assume that the stars move around and that reflect where Earth is compared to everything. And in the 24-hour period, you're supposed to move X amount of degrees compared to that star.
Yeah, but it might not be daily. You might move relative to another star.
No, I understand that, but in a period of a day, there is going to be a certain amount of motion compared. Each star, see, our time is based on going around the sun 365 days, right, and a quarter. But there are many other stars, and we could tell time based on those other stars also. And Shabbos is going to be a certain percentage of that other unit of measuring time.
Yeah, but our whole time system is based on relation to this. I mean, you could say that you're in a circle and there was no sun yet in the middle of the circle, but the circle still took 24 hours.
Right.
And then, on the seventh, on the fourth day, they popped the sun into the middle of the circle.
I think that's what Rabbi Mechai is saying. That I understand. But now the question is, how do I apply that to my fellow who's catching walla fish up at the North Pole?
Well, it's still based on the horizon. It's still the same 24-hour unit. It's just light for you the whole time.
Okay, so that's the Tiferes Yisrael. In other words, that goes back and forth. And that would mean a regular Shabbos once every 7 days. A normal...
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly when...
Basically, I don't understand Rabbi Black's
the seven-year Shabbos.
Again,
he's not saying it Lamaisa.
He's making an assumption that,
It makes sense
your,
that...
It's your reference of when the day starts and when the night...
No, but it's the same Chakira that Rabbi Chanan had. Is... Seis HaKochavim, a Sibur or a Simen? Is darkness a Sibur or a Simen? If darkness is what creates nighttime...
Yeah, but Rabbi Chanan Wasserman is deciding what part of it is day and what part of it is night. He's still assuming that a day unit...
In the 24-hour, right.
So Rabbi White is like, right, it's like... On
he's steroids. Taking...
He's like, right, I'm saying, it's like... He's like ripping apart the assumption that there's still there's a 24-hour...
Correct.
Right, so that's what I'm saying.
Listen, these are some of the points that we wanted to go through. I find this topic fascinating. I wish I had a better grasp of it. I link to Rabbi Blake's article at the end, which is in Tradition 2002 that I brought. And also this article in Kashrus Current is very interesting. In the Star K newsletter, so they talk about when do you daven when there is no day? When does one pray where there is no day? I linked to that article. It's worth looking at.
What's the most popular psak of what to do?
I think the most popular psak is... The way how... Again, Rabbi Simcha Krauss would probably not like this, but the way people do stuff today, poskim tell you to be machmir for as many shittos as possible in these things. I mean, they tell you that... maybe we'll conclude with this.
Can empirically decide...
Avoid going to the North Pole. What's his name? The Kashaglover Goyne in the Chuvas Eretz Tzvi. So he is Simon Mendal in the Eretz Tzvi. So the Kashaglover says that he thinks it's an Isidor Raisa to go to the North Pole because the Halacha of Shabbos is Zachos Yom HaShasakach that begins before Shabbos. To put myself in a situation when I won't have Shabbos is also Menatayra. That's his argument.
I can't see why you can't figure out with modern science when exactly.
If you pick your local spot,
Yeah, but this is just kind of...
That's the correspondence.
Yeah, I don't see why you can be able to figure it out, like, when, based on...
But based on what?
Relative to the sun, relative to the moon, like... You could kind of figure out, like...
My iPad, you can put it in any city in the globe.
I mean, you have to remember, basically, we're all on the same Earth, so, you're rotating around the same sun, and it's just a question of this part of the globe has more light, and this part has less light, so I don't understand why empirically you couldn't just figure out, like, yeah, it starts now.
Don't know. Okay, these are some of the problems, Deborah. Listen, thank you for listening.